Kia ora mai tātou. Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. No mai haere mai, no mai hoki mai. My name is Megan and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Megan.
Hi Megan.
This morning we'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Kia ora, everybody. This morning we'll start our meeting with the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Shaz, would you like to read our preamble?
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses or opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
This morning we'll be hearing from three speakers. We've got Shazzy, Walter and Steve with us. Steve, would you like to open our sharing this morning?
Kia ora Megan, kia ora whanau. My name is Steve, I'm an alcoholic.
Kia ora Steve.
My journey in recovery started off very rocky. I arrived here not really knowing what was going on. I had spent a bit of time trying to control my drinking and it quite quickly unravelled towards the end of it. And my drinking, it started off quite social, really. But when my drinking started and how it finished, there was a common theme amongst the whole thing. And when I drank in the beginning, when I was a teenager, when I drank, it was to extreme and it was voltage. And I drank and I felt so good and it exploded when I drank. And something upstairs would go, let's get absolutely blind drunk. And I would. You know, and in my early teens, it was acceptable. Everybody did it. It was great. But what happened is that when I drank like that, I blacked out. And so blackout drinking had a sense of normality about it for me. So I thought it was acceptable. And as I got older, the blackouts got longer and my behaviour deteriorated in the blackouts. And so when I came out of blackouts, I was either the hero or highly embarrassed. And people would tell me about these different things that I'd get up to, and I would shudder inside and think, oh, I won't do that again, you know, and would laugh it all off, but inside I'd cringe and think, oh, I won't do that again, I'll behave differently. And, it didn't. It became quite random. And I kind of tried to control my drinking and it just didn't happen. And for some reason I ended up with a reasonably good job, and so I had this real balance going on. You know, I felt so bad about myself. I worked incredibly hard to achieve as much as anybody else did, and because I felt so, you know, terrible and so useless. And when I drank, it was the other extreme. I exceeded really well. So I had these two things going on, and they were quite the opposite. And my drinking was slowly overtaking my life. And I wasn't an everyday drinker, but when I drank, I was a binge drinker. So I'd go on these roaring benders for 3 or 4 days at a time. And it started to encroach on my performance at work. And I knew that if I didn't do something about my drinking, it would affect, I'd lose my job. And I knew that if I lost my job, I couldn't buy the booze and I couldn't do all this kind of stuff. So it was important for me to try and keep that together. So I set out to put even more control into my drinking, and the fun kind of went out of it, really, because I didn't just kind of, you know, let's get absolutely blind drunk and away I'd go. I'd go, let's get absolutely blind drunk, and then there'd be this whole gymnastics of trying to control my drinking about, I'll have a beer and I'll have a water and I'll have a spirit and I'll have this and that, and I was aware of what I was drinking, and all the fun seemed to slip away from it, but I kept doing it. And the time came where, you know, I struck up a bit of a friendship with somebody through work, and he was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's really how I found Alcoholics Anonymous. So I didn't go looking for it, and I didn't go to a treatment centre or anything like that. I was talking to this guy one Friday afternoon, and I was heading into my second weekend without drinking, and I was pretty wired emotionally, and I was really tense and really anxious and really just really, really anxious. And something came up about drinking, and I blurted out to him that I was trying not to drink. And he went, oh, I said, yeah, I'm trying not to drink also, and I go to AA, and that's how I arrived here. And it was in a business meeting on a Friday afternoon. So, you know, there was a plan about me coming to AA. It had nothing to do with me. And so I agreed to come along to a meeting that Friday night, and I knew about Alcoholics Anonymous. We'd had a lot of drinking in the family, and the family had a brush with Alcoholics Anonymous a number of years ago, and so I knew of it, but I didn't know what it was about. So I came along, and I felt very... I didn't know what I was in for, and I got to this meeting, and I felt really quite overwhelmed, and I didn't know what to expect. I was riddled with fear. I was really anxious, and I wanted to run. I got into this meeting and I went, oh my God, and I wanted to run for the door. And we sat down and the meeting went on and all this kind of stuff. And I was so wrapped up in myself about being there and so overwhelmed with what people thought about me being there. I didn't really hear a lot. I did hear one or two things, and the things that I related to was that somebody talked about binge drinking, that when they drank they couldn't remember it. They did all this really bad stuff, and the next day people would tell them about it. And I absolutely related to that because that had been the story of my drinking. So that was my first brush with Alcoholics Anonymous. I remember when the meeting finished, I wanted to bolt for the door, run for the door as fast as I could. But these people kind of, you know, stood around me and started talking to me, and I was really awkward. And the people in AA they overlooked that awkwardness, and they just talked to me about their drinking. And I said, oh, I'll come back next week. And I kind of went, okay, and I ran for the door and I left. That was my brush with Alcoholics Anonymous. The thing was I went back the next week and the week after that and the week after that, because I knew there was something there, and really I hadn't had a lot of people left in my life with my drinking. I was really in a world of one, and, you know, we all know about the party for one at home. And so I went back and, you know, I listened. And, you know, to be honest, I wasn't looking to stop drinking in Alcoholics Anonymous, because, to be truthful, I didn't want to stop drinking. I wanted to keep drinking, and I wanted to find a way to control everything about my drinking so I could keep drinking. And that's what I was hoping to find at Alcoholics Anonymous. So I went for a long time with that attitude, hoping to find something to keep me drinking. And I drank regularly when I went to AA in those days. I would leave meetings and go out and drink. I'd drink before I'd go to the meetings. I wouldn't go to the meetings, and I'd go on these roaring benders for the weekend and then surface a few days later, you know, or ring AA members and go up and drinking and all this kind of stuff. So I just hung around AA and drank, and, you know, they told me to keep coming back even if I was drinking, and I couldn't figure out why. In hindsight, what they were telling me is that if I was in AA drinking, I had half a chance. Mm. If I was outside drinking, I had no chance at all. Mm-hmm. So really, my drinking came to a brutal end. I went on this horrendous bender, and it was the fear around the bender. I came out of blackout and wanted to stop drinking, and I just had this drive to fill myself with more alcohol, and it was the fear of not being able to control that. And none of these well-meaning AA people could get me there. They couldn't stop me from drinking. But once I got to that point where I wanted to stop, they were there to show me how to live without drinking. And I guess that's what my journey in AA has been since then, is learning how to live without drinking, because I didn't know how to do that beforehand. You know, I drank for everything. I drank to cope with the fear of living in the world. You know, I was extremely fearful of everything. I was, on the outside, I had this strong Teflon coating that nobody could see through, but inside I was just rattled and frightened and anxious, and the booze helped me cope with it. So I had to learn how to cope without the booze, living with all those things. And I guess that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has shown me how to do. It's introduced me to a power greater than myself. I've always had a belief in God. I've always had a belief in something, and I believe most people do. And what it's done is given me the ability to get to know that and to incorporate that in my everyday life. So I have quite a strong relationship with God, and I have a really strong structure of AA people around me, and I attend regular AA meetings. And I find that I'm not living life on my own. So when the times come when I get scared and I get anxious and life gets a bit hard and all that kind of stuff, where I would normally reach out for the booze to cope, I reach out to the people in Alcoholics Anonymous, because there I find people trying to do exactly the same thing that I'm doing. They're trying to live without drinking and cope with what comes along in life. And so talking to people about it, I'm no longer alone, and it takes the anxiety away about living. So I'm really happy that I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't plan it. I arrived here. I struggled with it for a long time, and I didn't want to be here. But in the end, I had no other option, because I couldn't deal with the emotional mess of living without the booze. And I found a way to do that in Alcoholics Anonymous. So kia ora, Megan. Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us this morning, Steve. Awesome to have you here. Walter, would you like to share with us?
Kia ora, whānau. I'm multi-alcoholic.
Hi, Walter.
Yeah, awesome. I related to you sharing quite a lot there, Steve. If you had looked over, you might have seen my head nodding. And those were experiences that were coming flooding back. One of the things that I got out of there that I could really relate to was that fear. You know, that fear of, my fear sometimes drove me to do some unreal things. Same thing, I had a Teflon coating. Looked really, really hard on the outside, but on the inside I was the same thing. I was in pieces, broken, but I would never let anyone see that. And eventually the loneliness got me, even though I suppose I found myself in a relationship, in a real good relationship, I still felt lonely there too. Anyway, my introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous came via my wife. She's a member as well of AA. Without me knowing, she was carrying a message to me in the form of going to meetings. And in that point of time, I was dry drinking. I had all that going on. I just didn't know I was a dry drunk. I eventually did come into AA. I walked into a meeting. Went in there. There's this Pākehā old guy standing there, and he puts his hands out and he says, "Welcome." Oh, that buzzed me out. I shook his hand. He took me in the meeting, and I went in the meeting, and I kind of felt a little bit out of place, because when I got in there, I didn't see anyone that looked like me. I didn't see anything that was familiar. So I kind of thought Alcoholics Anonymous wasn't for me anyway. I kind of thought, well, it's not for Māoris. I need to get out of here. This must be a Pākehā thing. I was wrong. But anyway, I got out. I left that meeting, and for 6 months, I walked out of there, and I said, I could do this. I can do this on my own. So I walked out of there, and for 6 months, I went crazy. Went crazy. Eventually, I picked up again. I know today that I needed to, in order to get rid of the insanity, to get rid of, or I suppose find peace within. That was the only thing that would bring that about, was having another drink, and it certainly did that. That was, I'd say, my first year of sobriety. My second year went down the similar track, same thing. I suppose what was happening for me is that I didn't have my ears open. I had my ears closed and my mouth open instead. I was telling people everything that I thought they wanted to hear, and I wasn't listening to what I needed to. So eventually I went back out there. Funny that it was two weeks away from my birthday, and I went back out there, which was really brief. It was brief. I was out there for a night. And in that last lapse there, something changed. Something happened for me. I woke up, and in the hangover from it, I felt spiritually bankrupt. I felt mentally bankrupt and I felt physically bankrupt. So I believe what I know today, I'd hit my rock bottom. I definitely didn't want to be there. I had experienced, even though I was going through my things with my dry drinking and whatnot, I experienced some sort of recovery. A seed had been planted there, and I realised in that last lapse there that I had the best life, or I had a life beyond my wildest dreams, sitting there right in front of me, and I was throwing it away. Yeah. So I did. I got back. I came back and started to paddle, or started to hoy this waka, row this waka of Alcoholics Anonymous. I got back in there and I picked up the paddle with two hands and I started to row it. And I shut up. I shut my mouth up and I opened my ears and my eyes and I started to watch. I started to listen. I started to read the book. One of my spiritual brothers, he took me in for a little while, and I go there on the first day staying at his place there, and he leaves me with the big book, with the Alcoholics Anonymous big book. He leaves me with that on the table, and he says, "See you later." I don't see that guy for 2 weeks. And it's just me, him, and me, myself, and the book. Yeah, you know. But one of the things that he did say to me was, educate yourself on what we suffer from. I know that I suffer from the disease of alcoholism. I know that if I indulge in the first one, I spark the phenomenon of craving off within me. So the best thing that I can do today is just not pick the first one up. That's what the whānau here told me. It's not the last one that does the damage, it's the first one. So today I'll do that, it's a one day at a time process. I've learned to stay here in the day, and I learned to reach out to people when I need to, just like the previous speaker spoke about. Instead of reaching out for the bottle, I reach out to people. You know, one of the things, biggest thing that I have found here being in recovery is that I've found what I believe my purpose in life is. You know, my purpose in life today is, it's been all about finding God, a God of my own understanding. You know, I didn't find him in a church, I found him here in AA. You know, and I believe that, I believe God puts you where you're meant to be, where you're going to find him. And I believe my days from here on out, if I do them one day at a time, it's about making my way home to him. To God. Hopefully I can do a few good deeds along the way. And reciprocity. Yeah, do a few good deeds for those people out there. So yeah, thanks for asking me to share, Megan. Cheers.
Thanks, Walter. Thank you for being here with us today. Kia ora, Shares. Would you like to share with us this morning?
Kia ora, thanks, Megs. Kia ora, whānau. My name is Sharon and I'm an alcoholic.
Kia ora, Shares.
Kia ora, Shares.
And I absolutely identify with the previous two speakers. It's quite funny that when you're sitting and listening, well, I shouldn't say funny, but it's interesting that when you're sitting there listening to speakers, your head does sort of bounce up and down because there is so much that you identify with as an alcoholic. So I guess I'll tell you just a little bit about my drinking, is that I started drinking from a very young age. I grew up in a very disjointed family and pretty much from a very young age felt lonely, you know, lonely and isolated in life. I just found it difficult to, cope with just normal things that happened in this world. I always felt like I was, you know, really different from everybody else. And so basically for me, alcohol was that clutch, you know, it was my safety. And it made me everything that, you know, I wanted to be, invincible and accepted, and everything that comes along with that. And that was fine at the beginning. And much like one of the previous speakers, she, you know, it was all social and it was fun. But as things progressed in life and time, you know, moved on, my drinking did get worse and worse. I understand that today about the disease of alcoholism and that it is a progressive disease. And I only learnt that through coming into the rooms of AA because I didn't understand why at some point in time I could drink and I'd black out. And then it got to a point where several years later I was almost drinking on a daily basis. And it just wasn't easy for me to stop. I just couldn't. You know, the amount of times that I've promised people and, you know, all those broken promises and, you know, I just couldn't stop and absolutely tried every other thing but AA. I went to another organisation to try, you know, drinking, moderate drinking. That didn't work. I went to a hypnotherapist and we've got a basic text in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is our Alcoholics Anonymous book, and it talks about all the things that, you know, alcoholics go through, like changing from, you know, Scots to beer and everything else. And I did that too, you know. I thought it was maybe it was wine I was allergic to, and perhaps if I changed to another kind of drink. But, you know, at the end of the day, that would just get drunk in copious amounts as well. So there was just, I did absolutely exhaust absolutely everything, and not only in terms of seeking for help, but friendships, you know, marriage, broken promises, just everything. And in the end, I ended up at Alcoholics Anonymous because I just had nowhere else to go at the end of the day. And when I first came in, I didn't want to accept that I was an alcoholic. And part of me still had a lot of drinking left, even though the insanity of everything that I had been through, I was still found it difficult to stop. And but I kept coming back because that's the word that I heard, keep coming back. It works if you work at it. And that's exactly what I did. And similar to the other speaker, I didn't give up straight away. It was a timely thing for me. But I think at the end of the day, what really hit me right there and then was that I needed to surrender. I needed to absolutely surrender before I was going to really get this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I'm glad I took that journey because, you know, it took me... as the previous speaker said, you know, one drink, that first drink, and it took me a long time to get that too. But today I'm clean and sober and I don't have that urge to drink anymore, you know, and I haven't had a drink for a little while now. And I only learnt that through working the program and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, if you're new out there and you're scared, you know, just have the courage to come in because there's just some wonderful people. They're all welcoming. And don't forget, every single person has been through, you know, having to be the first time to come into the rooms. It's not easy. But everybody's had to start that way. So what I find now is that I'm just not alone in anything I do. You know, that's the one thing that I was always drinking, really, really lonely. And I don't have that loneliness today. You know, I've made lots of wonderful friendships in Alcoholics Anonymous, a wonderful support. I got a sponsor, which is something that was suggested, you know, who helps guide me, that I can talk to about things, and a wonderful, you know, set of friends that understand exactly the things that I'm going through. And for me now, it's not so much about giving up drinking, because I've done that, but it's now how to live you know, on a daily basis sober, as a sober woman. And that's different because, you know, my past has always been when anything gets too difficult is to pick up a drink. So what I do now is I use the fellowship, my friends in the fellowship, to talk about things. I reach out. I'm honest. That's the most important thing now, is that I'm absolutely honest about where I'm at. I was never, never honest when I was drinking. And I was, you know, it's just, I would never admit to how much I actually drank. But I understand that it's a disease of alcoholism, and it doesn't matter how much I drink, it's about what happens to me when I drink. So I've done all the suggested things, and most importantly, when I reach out, I use the spiritual tools that I've been given in AA and that I've learned. And it's not something that you learn overnight, and that's okay. You know, it was a slow process for me. But I wouldn't change anything at all in my life in terms of the best thing that I ever did was come to AA. It's given me, you know, a new way of living. I'm a wonderful wife. I'm a mother that's absolutely relied upon, you know, that I'm not, it's not full of broken promises anymore. You know, that when I say to my children I'm going to do something, they absolutely know that it's going to get done. You know, I cannot say that that was in the past. They just didn't trust me, but it's taken a little while to build that trust back up again. You know, and there is a wonderful life for me still to continue with, you know, and it just keeps getting better and better. And that's just what I would encourage, is what was suggested to me, is do 6 meetings, come to 6 meetings, just listen, close your mouth and listen, and listen for the similarities, and there is plenty of them. So, hope to see you at a meeting.
Thanks,
whānau.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for being here with us this morning. It's been great having you here. This brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you have a problem with alcohol and you want help, you can find 0800 AA Works, which will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. There are over 100 AA meetings each week within the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. Thank you for listening. Next week we'll be here at the same time. Please come back and be with us. You can hear this program again at planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air. What we'll do now is we'll just close with the Serenity Prayer spoken, and then we'll close with a karakia at the end sung. Okay.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back because it works if you work at it.
Kia ora whānau.
Kia ta, kia ta, ta, ka toa, te ata whai. O te tatawari ki a ihu, ka me te aroha o te atua, me te whiwhinga teitanga ki te wairuatau.
Te iwi, kia ora mai tātou i tēnei ata, nau mai hoki mai, anō, āpopo. Kā kite.
Kā kite.
Your language on planetaudio.org.nz.